Welcome back to the Dylan Harper Show. My guest right now is Muriel Schneider.
Hi.
Now your mic's on.
Now my mic's on.
There
Hi.
You go. That was, you were getting ready though.
I was. I was on it.
And Muriel is joining us for many reasons. Obviously because we've been meaning to have her on for a long time now, but we waited because we wanted to get her on before her upcoming play, The Vagina Monologues.
Yes.
And that's coming up this coming Wednesday and Tuesday. I said that backwards, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's this coming Tuesday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. here on campus at San Francisco State University in Knuth Hall.
And if you didn't catch that, we're going to plug in a million more times,
yeah.
So you will.
Yes.
And you are from, not just, besides being a famous actor, you're also from Ideos Mio.
I am from Ideos
and
Mio.
And when's that?
And that is Thursdays from 11 to 12 here on
right
KSFS.
Here.
Yes, each and every Thursday.
How long have you been acting?
Not that long at all.
Really?
To be honest. I don't even think I would consider myself to be an actress.
So you just randomly go get roles in place.
Well, this is what happened is I was in high school, which, as Casey Fowler likes to remind me, was not that long ago. He was just giving me a hard time about how young I am. But I was a junior in high school, so I was halfway through high school, and I got my school schedule for the year. And Theater 1 was listed as one of the classes I had to take just randomly. I didn't sign up for it, had no intention of taking it. So I go to my counselor and I say, hey, Mrs. Counselor, can you please switch me out of Theater 1? Because I am not really that into talking in front of people. I'm pretty reserved. I've gotten
That's
better.
News to me.
I've gotten better. But back then I wasn't into the idea of having to take theater as a class or even have anything to do with performing arts. And my counselor told me that I hadn't met an arts requirement yet and that would meet the requirement and that I just needed to take it for 1 year and just grin and bear it and I'd be done. So there was no way I could get out of it. I took Theater 1 and I was really good at it.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
So how did you get the role in Vagina Monologues?
So one of the actors I had in my theatrical radio show, because in the theatrical radio show, I never acted. I acted as the director.
Okay.
So I recruited a bunch of kids from the theater arts department here at State, and it was the same recurring cast, just in different roles every week.
Okay.
And one of my cast members had contacted me and said, you know, I got the position of director for the Vagina Monologues, and there's this monologue that I think you would be great for.
Oh, okay.
And I would love to have you come and audition. And so I went and auditioned, and then I went and got called back, and then I got the part.
And I was wondering if we, not to put you on the spot, could get you to read a quick passage from your role to maybe give people a preview.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to introduce your role at all, or do you want to just go right into it?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's called The Vagina Workshop, and it's about this woman who's kind of crazy and neurotic, and she goes to this workshop to try to figure out how to give herself an orgasm. So, I can't believe I'm doing this on the radio, but here we go. And then the moment had arrived that I had both dreaded and longed for. The woman who ran the workshop asked us to take out our hand mirrors again to see if we can locate our clitoris. We were there, the group of us women, on our backs, on our mats, searching for our spots, our locus, our reason, and I don't know why, but I started crying. Maybe it was sheer embarrassment. Maybe it was knowing that I had to give up the fantasy, the enormous life-consuming fantasy that someone or something was going to do this for me. The fantasy that someone was coming to lead my life, to choose direction, to give me orgasms. I could feel the panic coming. The simultaneous terror and realization that I had avoided finding my clitoris, had rationalized it as mainstream and consumerist because I was, in fact, terrified that I did not have a clitoris. Terrified that I was one of those constitutionally incapables, one of those frigid, dead, shut down, dry, apricot tasting, bitter. Oh my God. I lay there with my mirror looking for my spot, reaching with my fingers, and all I could think about was that time when I was 10 and I lost my gold ring with the emeralds in a lake. How I kept diving over and over to the bottom of the lake, running my hands over stones and fish and bottle caps and slimy stuff, but never my ring. The panic I felt. I knew I'd be punished. The woman who ran the workshop saw my insane scrambling, sweating, and heavy breathing. She came over and I told her, "It's gone! It's gone! I've lost my clitoris! I shouldn't have worn it swimming!"
Help! I need somebody! Help! Not just anybody!
Help!
You know I need someone!
That was good. So, you know, part of the reason I did that is now I know British accent.
I know. Dylan's been bugging me for like probably a month straight because I told him that there was a possibility that my monologue was going to be in a British accent. And
I wanted to know.
He wanted to know.
That was fantastic. Surprise. And you can hear the entire performance
on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Or Wednesday. And where can people get their tickets?
They can get them online. It's encouraged to order them online. It's at the Creative Arts website.
One thing I would love to talk about
is
I have heard that you once won Miss Teen La Costa in eighth grade.
Oh, gosh, you have all the dirt, don't you? I was a beauty queen back in my day, a pageant girl. There's a story behind it, actually.
Go on.
So my best friend at the time had heard that there's going to be this pageant. She really wanted to do it. And so she was like, "Yeah, I'm going to enter this pageant and I'm going to do whatever." And I'm a pretty low maintenance girl. Like I'm a no frills kind of girl. I don't really get dressed up that often. I don't wear makeup. Like I don't know. I'm not very girly girl. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm excited because it's so like, I'm going to just get in touch with my femininity and wear a pretty dress and whatever. And she kind of sort of insinuated that it was something that because I was more of a tomboy that I wouldn't be able to do and succeed at.
Uh-oh.
And then I was like, "You know what? I'm going to enter this pageant too, and I'm going to do just as well as you are, or even better." And I did.
And then you beat her.
Yeah. And then from there, I did the Miss Teen, or it was like Junior Miss Southern California
or
something.
It was 2006 state pageant.
Yeah.
And you placed fourth out of 150 girls.
Yeah.
Are originally from San Diego.
Yes, I am.
And what made you move? Well, first of all, San Diego, this time of year has to be beautiful.
It's beautiful any time of year.
Because I was going over my notes while I was walking over here for the show, and I got to that part. I'm like, "All right, San Diego." I'm like, "Oh," and it was windy and cold, and I'm just jealous.
Yeah, there are so many days where I'll talk to somebody from back at home, and they're like, "Oh, it's 80 degrees today, and I went to the beach, and it's pouring rain up here." And it's just like, oh,
you know what? That's cool.
Yeah. I'm from a town called Carlsbad.
Is that
just north of San Diego?
Is that anything to do with the caverns, Carlsbad Caverns?
No.
No?
But it does have everything to do with Legoland, because that's what's in Carlsbad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to Legoland often as a kid?
I've been more than a few times, yes.
Okay.
And, so Legoland's there. It's a little beach town, pretty small. Everybody goes to school together and knows each other. Everybody kind of knows everybody.
Close-knit community.
Yeah. It's one of those places, though, if you don't leave, you're there forever.
And so what's it like to go from a really close-knit community beach town to, like, a million people live within a square mile of you in San Francisco?
It's pretty crazy. It's a little bit... I was shell-shocked, to be honest, when I first moved up here.
What was the biggest change or the hardest change to adjust to?
Well, it's crazy to like look up and see buildings above you.
But you did a theater show,
which
is one of the most unique ideas for shows we've had at SF State.
Yeah.
I mean, right up there with Dan's cooking show. It's, and you went at maybe second only to our idea, one of our ideas for next year,
right,
which we're going to keep secret for now.
Right.
But what got you, like, how'd you come up with that you wanted to do a theater-based radio show?
Well, I wasn't taking any theater classes at the time. I'm still not, but I wasn't at the time, and I thought it would be a fun way to sort of keep those skills and keep that mentality alive within me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I figure I didn't know how long I was going to be given the opportunity to have a radio show, so I thought I'd want to do something that I would find challenging and stimulating and all that jazz. But
then this semester you went in a totally different direction.
I did. So then I had, okay. So
was
I had,
that on purpose?
Yes. Last semester, so I had my radio show, which was fun, but it ended up being a lot more work than I realized it would be. And it's something that if I'm going to do it and if I'm going to do something that quote unquote innovative and and crazy, I want to do it well.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to do it as well as I had wanted to. So I figure that I can revisit that format when I'm able to focus more energy into it and maybe have a better crew to do it with. Because it can't be like a one-man job, and it wasn't really, something was
off. It sounds tough.
It's tough. But I also had a show on my own last semester that I loved. It's called The Mixtape Hour. I'm going to bring it back, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, cool. It's called The Mixtape Hour, and each week I'd do a theme. And so I'd make a mixtape for that theme. And so any occasion that you would think to make a mixtape for someone, so we did like the breakup mixtape and the I Think I Might Like You, You're My Crush mixtape. And me, I got a crush. Can I sleep inside? I know you never know. So I promise to leave before your mother wakes up in the morning. Hello, you're listening to The Dylan Harper Show.
With my guest?
Muriel Schneider. Sorry, I forgot.
All right. We have a caller on the line.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Is this Sarah?
Yeah.
Hello, Sarah.
This is Sarah Schneider.
Is this your sister?
Yeah. How's it going, Sarah?
Good.
What you doing?
Good or nothing.
So what's on your mind?
Nothing.
Oh, you just...
Dad wants to talk to you.
Okay, let me talk to Dad.
Okay, here you go.
Okay.
That's adorable.
Isn't she cute?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Dad. You're on air.
Okay, hey.
Hey.
Dylan, ask Muriel about Y2K.
Oh, my gosh.
I will do that.
Don't.
Thank you, sir. No, your mic's going off. This is you're out of the loop, Dad. Thank you, sir. I will ask her about that. Why 2K?
Okay.
Let's jump into it.
Okay, so back in 1999, I don't know how old I was. I had to be about how old?
8.
Okay, thank you. I had to be about 8. Good math. And it was New Year's Eve, and one of my cousins or someone had told me that when it came to be midnight on New Year's Eve of 2000, that the world was going to end. And I freaked out.
Really?
I freaked out so bad that we were at a friend's house, like at a New Year's Eve party, and they're videotaping the whole thing. And all of a sudden, like 10 minutes leading up to midnight, I am just bawling, like hysterically crying, having a panic attack, screaming, not listening to anything anyone's trying to tell me. It was so bad. And, but the world didn't end.
All right, now we have time for one last song.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to let you talk about it.
Okay, this one's a special song. It goes out to my mom, and it's pretty self-explanatory. So, Mom, I love you, and this one's for you.
My hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now. at work, I just take time. And all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you.
You're listening to The Dylan Harper Show. I am the guest, Muriel Schneider, and here is your host, Dylan Harper.
Thank you, Muriel. I feel like Mike Krems.
Yeah.
To Mike Krems out there,
hello.
To my second guest, Muriel Schneider, who is in an upcoming San Francisco State production of The Vagina Monologues
this Tuesday and
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets online by going to the Creative Arts page of San Francisco State, or tickets at the door at Newth Hall.
Yes.
And they're $5 for students and seniors, $10 for everybody else.
I believe
so. Well worth it. And it all goes to charity.
Yes,
so there's really no reason not to go.
And it's a really entertaining show. I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. It's really funny.
Exactly.
And
I don't want to say that you have to go, but if you don't, then the world might end.
Uh-oh.
Y2K.
Don't say that. I still get scared.
Thank you very much, Muriel, for not only joining us, but doing the playlist for this evening.
Yeah, no, it was really fun.
The chaos.